Brother Harry back for sure. I'm glad he's here. Be in prayer for several tribes. We have two families over in Europe as a little bit. One's already there and one's flying over there visiting vacation. Brother Paul said it's the first time him and Sister Fran's been alone on vacation in many years. Look at little Brianna sitting all by her lonesome. Why don't you come sit with Miss Kim so you don't feel so lonely? Y'all pray for her. If y'all need to listen, I'm just fooling with you, Brandy. You're fine. You're fine. Ladies, y'all make sure y'all care for her and her and Ashley. Their mom will be away. They might need something every now and then. So y'all check in on them. I know they've grown, but they still need a mama's hand. So y'all check on them this next week or so. We'll be in Genesis here in a moment. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. In 2006, the church bought a Dixie chopper, and we've used it up until this point, and it has been a very good lawnmower, but it saw its last breath this week. So, church, we're going to have to ask you if we could this week replace the Dixie chopper with a commercial type ride lawnmower. It may not be a Dixie chopper, may be a Dixie chopper, not sure, but it will be a commercial type equivalent to what we have so that we can continue on caring for the yard around here. So if there's any questions about why we need a lawnmower? No. Anybody want to come and just do it on their own? We won't buy a lawnmower. No? Okay. And I have a motion this week that the deacons go and buy a commercial style lawnmower. Brother Victor, second. Brother Stacy. All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Thank you, church, for that. It is a blessing just to be able to do it, I promise you. I thought about getting a bunch of goats and just turning them loose, but you got to have a shepherd for that. And they're more work than a lawnmower, because I've got five, and they get out constantly. Genesis chapter 6 this evening. Genesis chapter 6. There was something else I wanted to say, and I forgot all about it. Oh, I know what it was. We did finally get the press running Saturday, and for you, those that was able to help, thank you very much. For some reason or another, when we ran that last run of pre-old New Testaments, section 3, we lost count. I had Brother Ray sitting over there with his shoes off. He had fingers and toes counting. Some way he couldn't keep up, so we lost count. So that's why we had to reprint that third section. But we was able to get it running finally about 3 o'clock. And we ran it pretty good down the way. And so thank you for being a part of that and helping us with that. What a blessing that was that we was able to print and get that going. The other thing is, we have a good crowd here tonight. We really do. The Lord's been blessing, you know, over the last 11 years. The Lord keeps adding little by little, bit by bit. He's done it in an amazing, marvelous way. And we are running over 150 now on Sunday mornings. That's from 13 members to now we're about 150 on Sunday morning. Now, here's what we got to work at, church. You that's sitting around here tonight, you're the cream of the crop. Those that are missing, they need some encouragement. In other words, you need to let them know how good a time we have here on Sunday evenings. Some of them don't realize that we have a good time. Some of them think you just come here and, you know, there's nothing happening and I'm tired and all that. Well, you know, we are tired. But Sunday school hour and Sunday evening services are very, very important. Not because I'm the speaker, but it shows a lot of spiritual growth. It really does, and an individual giving themselves a beer. So you are the best salesman, sales ladies. Talk it up. Let them know how much a good time we have around here on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. And let's get that Sunday evening crowd up a little bit better than this. I know there's some that can't. They're traveling. They're on vacation. This is a long weekend. For a long weekend, we got a good one. We got a good crowd. So thank you for being in your place. It's very encouraging. But talk to them. Let them know. Don't chastise them. It's easy to chastise them. But, you know, just when you're around somebody, talk about how good of a time we have. And I believe we have a good time on Sunday evening. You listen to that song Sister Barbara just sang. That was no different than Sunday morning singing. Other than we don't have the choir, Brother Jim, maybe that's why we got to put the choir back on Sunday night to get the people back. I don't know, but I think we can do it if we just encourage them, you know, provoke them to love. Sometimes it's their hearts a little bit far from Sunday evening service. You've got to be drawn in to the Lord there. So you'll help me with that, and we'll let the Lord bless. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. Now we're going verse by verse through the book of Genesis. We got down to verse number 9 last week, but we're going to read chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. And then 26, and we're going to talk about the man of God, Noah, for a little bit tonight. You know, he's a well-known Old Testament personality. I mean, you talk about, if I were to ask somebody tonight, what's one of the most famous stories you knew in the Old Testament? And probably many of you would have said, oh, Noah and the ark. You know, just was, it's part of it. You know, he's well-known in that. You know, not a whole lot of verses and chapters given to him. And there, I think it's three total in Genesis that we read about through him and there. But, you know, it's a he's well-known. Now, these verses we're going to read, they begin to tell us a little bit about his character. And character is very important. Can we be honest tonight? We're lacking character in America anymore. We're lacking character in America's pulpits anymore. We really are. In the pews. We're lacking character. So we need character. And how do we do that? We find people with character and we look at it. Now character, it takes a little bit of pressure on us to get character. You know, like you take a nickel, it's an old flat nickel piece of metal, but then they put it in that their mint machine and boy, when it presses down. It presses. It comes out and there we have the impressions of the mint. And we need sometimes to be pressed a little bit by the power of God so that we reflect more Christ and we resemble Him in that way. And so tonight we're going to look at the character of Moses. Genesis 6 verses 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and a perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with the Lord. Verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. In the midst of this chapter, right there in verse number 8, I kind of sit on that a little bit last week, was, you know, God repented himself, he made man, he was ready to destroy all mankind, and then all of a sudden there in verse 8, but Noah. And I really hit on that last week, but Noah found grace. And you know, sometimes we get to feeling like we can't go a little bit further in this world for the Lord because, to be honest with you, evil men have waxing worse and worse. You know, and sometimes we can't. So God, in His infinite wisdom, placed in a preserved Word of God for us to read about a man named Noah. It was such a wicked time in society that God was had repented Himself of even making man. It grieved him. In verse 6, it says, and it grieved him at his heart. But Noah found grace. And I want to tell you something, dear friend. I am so thankful that it's by God's grace that I am born again. For by grace are you saved. I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that I couldn't. I'm too sorry to work to get myself to heaven. I'm too proud to humble myself far enough, dear friend. If it was anything other than Christ dying on the cross of Calvary, dear friend, we would burn in the devil's hell. But because of the love of God, Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, by God's grace, we can be born again by faith in Christ, repentance to God, and we become His child. And Noah was a man of faith. Look over in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. If you would, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 7. By faith, Noah being warned of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. Now, this old wicked world we live in, dear friend, Noah's a good example that we can live for God. Amen. It's a choice.
Right.
We got to make a choice. We got to be like the three Hebrew children, Brother Hector. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. Yeah. They purposed in their heart. They made a purpose. They said, hey, I'm just going to live for God.
Amen.
Joshua came through and he said to him, he said, I don't know what you're going to do, whether you're going to serve the gods of your fathers, whether you're going to serve the God of heaven. I don't know what you're going to do, but for me and my house, we are going to serve God.
Amen.
It's just going to have to be a choice. And the Bible says here in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. Noah was a man of faith, and Noah was a man that feared the warning of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I'm just here to tell you, dear friend, that we today need more men of faith, and we need more God-fearing men.
Amen.
That when we hear and we hear the warnings, we actually heed them. There's too many of us that we just see, oh, there's fire there, the stove is hot. Well, you know, it ain't enough to be told it's hot. We got to reach out and touch it and figure out that it's hot. And then, it's, you know, by then we're seared, we're scarred. The fingerprints have been moved, burnt off on their hand because we didn't heed the warning. Have you ever looked around at the different warnings that's on items? Like, for instance, anybody ever bought a serpentine belt or a fan belt put on a car? Do you know on that fan belt, if you look at it real close, you know what it says in the instructions? Make sure the engine's off before you remove the old. Why did they have to put that on there, Brother Connie? Because somebody didn't heed the warning. Why do we have men of God that need to stand up in the pulpit, grab hold to the horns of the altar, and continue to be watchmen for God and warn people that, hey, if you don't live by God's way, the way of the transgressor is hard, it's going to have some difficult times that come into your life. Why? Because people do not heed the warning. Give me an example. The whole world in Noah's day. What did he say there in verse number 7? By faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, and all the animals that got on there, two by two, and then the clean ones, seven, and they got on there. That was it. The rest of the world didn't need the warning. Didn't need it. Noah was a man of faith. His position was, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. What's your position now? You working on it? Hoping you're going to get there? Maybe you're going to get around to the point where you're good enough? There's none good, no, not one. For all sin comes short of the glory of God. Dear friend, if you're not born again by faith in Christ, faith in Christ, repentance toward God, dear friend, you need to be saved tonight so that you stand in a position of grace. Because we all need grace. We all need grace. So Noah, we find here in his character that he was a man of grace, a man of faith. He was a man that feared God. What was his attitude? He was just. Go back over to our text in Genesis chapter number 6. He was just. That's what the Bible said in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Now, what does that mean? Noah was a just man. Well, here in my mind, in my heart, what I'm thinking was, Noah was a just man because he had been justified by God. There's a difference in being just in our own eyes. Because many of us stand up like Cain, and we come before God with Cain's attitude and say, God, here's my cornucopia, here's my corn, here's my tomatoes, and here's my potatoes, and Lord, here's my hot peppers, and here's my bell peppers, and here's my sweet peppers, and Lord, I even threw in some habaneros here. I hope that's pretty good for you. And we stand there before God and we say, God, I want to be just in your eyes. And God turns around and says to us, just like he said to Cain, Cain, if you only do right, you will be accepted also. But Abel, just listen to the word of God. He heeded the warning. When his mom and dad had sinned, God showed up in the garden God killed some innocent lambs and innocent animals and slayed them, gave them coats of skin, and gave an example of how things had to be to approach God. The innocent for the guilty. We're just because we've been justified by God, because He is righteous, and we don't need to stand in our righteousness, because all of our righteousness is filthy rags. We need Christ's righteousness. So His attitude was that He was accepted by the grace of God in the beloved, and therefore He was justified because of what Christ had done for Him. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. What are you talking about? Noah lived before the flood. You're talking about what Christ did. Yes, dear friend, He looked forward to the cross of Calvary. By grace, He looked forward. What are you talking about? Remember Genesis 3:15? It's the whole beginning of the prophecy that there would be a Savior for the redemption of mankind. In Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth a Son, made of a woman, made of the seed of a woman. And so there's the ground. He looked forward to what would take place in Golgotha as we look back at what took place. And He was justified by faith. Then it says here that He was perfect. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. Now, what in the world is talking about here? Pastor, you've said time and time again, there's nobody perfect. Now, the word perfect means right here that he was genuine. He was mature. It doesn't mean that he was perfect as God was perfect, but it means that he was complete in Christ. We're all aliens from God, enemies of the cross of Christ. But when we come to Christ, put faith and trust in Him, then we are made alive. We were dead in trespass and sin, Ephesians chapter 2. We were dead in trespass and sin, but we're put faith and trust in Christ, and then we're made complete in Christ, and now we're living a life for God through the faith of Christ, which God gave Himself for us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. And so he was perfect, he was whole, he was complete in Christ. Aren't you thankful, dear friend, that when the Bible says that we're saved, and He says saved to the uttermost, it's complete, it's whole, we're perfect in Christ. Now be careful, don't be thinking too highly of yourself, neither should I. Nobody should put confidence in the flesh, because confidence in the flesh will let us down. We're not perfect in this body of flesh. We're perfect in Christ. It's our position. It's who we're in. We're accepted by God because of the beloved. So we're perfect in Him. So when the Bible says He was a just man and He was a perfect man, it's talking about His position. What's your position today? Are you in Christ? Is the anchor of your hope Christ Jesus? Or is it something else? So I'm talking about Noah's character here today. And then we're going to look at his testimony. Look at his testimony, verse number 9. So the justness, or being justified, or the being perfect is the inward part, and the born again, being saved part. Now look what it says. Then it begins to affect the outward part, verse number 9. And Noah walked with God. Now this is dealing with His testimony, His outward testimony. Now the Bible says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, unless two be agreed, they cannot walk together. Unless two are in agreement. Now, friend, you can't keep going contrary to this Bible. You can't keep going contrary to the principles and precepts of the Word of God and then tell us, and tell me, and tell God, try to hoodwink people and say, well, I'm walking with God. Well, you might be walking different, but you ain't walking with God, because God's going one way. Straight and narrow, listen. And there's that book. He's walking according to the principles and precepts of this Word. We got so many folks in the tell you this thing that they're not, their testimony is not according to that book. It's something. I mean, they're trying at it. They're working at it, dear friend, but we need to quit trying at it and work at it and do it. Take heed to the Word of God and walk circumspectly according to the Scriptures and precepts, and cleanse our ways as the Bible says in Psalms 119, through the Word of God. And so his testimony was, he walked with God. I wonder if that's our testimony or not. I wonder tomorrow, whenever they see you coming up there, they might not say it. They see you walking up there to the job site. You're headed up there. I wonder if they look at you and they say, that's a Christian right there. And that is somebody that loves God right there. They might not say it to you, but in their heart, their mind, do you have that testimony? Do you have that testimony that when people see you, they're around you, they know that, hey, that is a child of God? Well, how does that happen? By your testimony. How is your testimony? I mean, could you be honestly, just talk with me just a minute in your heart. Don't speak out loud, because I'm not trying to embarrass nobody, because I'm telling you, I have lived outside of a good testimony. And it's not a good place. But just think about in your own heart, in your own mind, is there enough evidence in your life that if nobody had your vocal testimony that I am a Christian, would they be able to convict you of being a child of God? So it's important, dear friend, that we have a testimony. He walked with God. I mean, I don't care whenever I die. When I die, I'm absent from this body, and I know I'm born again by faith, and I know what the Bible tells me, I'm going to be absent from this body, I'm going to be gone. I don't care what my wife puts on there, on my tombstone thing. You know, here lies Lane, a good husband, a good father. Wouldn't it be great to say, he walked with God? What are they going to epitaph? What a blessing that would be. What would be a blessing that even if it wasn't written there, it was known about you. She walked with God. See, God's a God of accountability. God's a God of records. He's a record keeper. I wonder what God has written down in our life today. You know, up there, you know, in heaven, he's keeping records. He's got a water. I don't know how he does it. I don't know all that. He is God. But I know one day the Bible says I'm going to give an account of what I've done in this body, whether good or bad. So it's going to be known. So we can fight and argue all day long if you want about the antics of what I'm saying. But I'm telling you, the Bible says we're going to give an account. Now, whether God just all of a sudden puts up a big old movie screen cinema up there and he says, hey, take your seat, let's look. I don't know if he's going to wipe it, you know, run it out there before me. I don't know if he's going to bring the person by me that I did wrong. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I'm going to give an account of what I've done in this. Wouldn't it be great when somebody walks by and says, Lord, he walked with God, and because of him, I came to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He walked with God. This is Noah's testimony. Listen, all those folks that stood at that door after the door closed and began to bang when the rain fell, they knew Noah walked with God. It said, by his labor, by his testimony, by what he did, it condemned the world. What's your testimony tonight? What is your testimony? Are we a living witness to God among our associates, those that we influence? So I'm not asking you at all that you have to be some monk that walks around hidden off in a cloth, you know, covered up. You know, I'm not asking you to run around here in a habaji. I'm not asking you to run around in a suit and tie. I'm not asking you to get you some Christian t-shirts and put on there that says, I'm born again. What I'm asking you to do, dear friend, is live like you are God's family. Amen. And let your life speak for itself. I'm not, you know, sometimes when you start talking about testimony, somebody cuts us off and says, well, you know, I've got to live and I've got to dress, got to act, got to say. Listen, just live godly. Just like this morning's sermon. Just live godly. Live according to Scripture. Live your life according to the pleasing of God. Oh, it's a good question. Who are we trying to please? That says a lot. If I'm trying to please this world, dear friend, I'm not going to live according to Scripture. If I try to please the pastor, I'm going to fail. Every you're going to fail. You try to please me. I'm not hard to please, to be honest with you. I'm really not. But you're going to fail because, listen, my expectations is it's not going to carry you too far. You're going to get tired of trying to live for me. You're going to get tired of trying to, oh, here comes the preacher. Let me get things straight. Let me get things lined up. Let me get things in order. Here comes the preacher. You're going to get tired of that kind of living, dear friend. You're going to have to live, dear friend. I saw something today. I think, who was it? Either C.S. Lewis said it or Charles Spurgeon. I'm not sure. Oh, man, I wish I could say who said it. But we should live. I think it was Charles Spurgeon. It said, we should live as if Christ died yesterday and is in the grave today, and tomorrow is going to rise again. That's how we should live. How would you live if you knew Christ was going to be coming out of the grave tomorrow? Pastor, that's kind of crazy. This doesn't happen. Yeah, but he can come back at any moment. I mean, that's a pretty good thought. How would you live? How about this? How would you live in the next 3 days if we got a memo in heaven? You know how that guy flies around over Disney over there and he puts signs up there, big smiley face, Jesus loves you, in the airplane, you know, with the smoke. I don't even know what they call all that. He just writes in the sky. I mean, he can write in the sky with his airplane better than I can write on pencil and paper. But he writes up in the sky. Wouldn't it be amazing one day we walked out there and then all of a sudden there's the hand of God in heaven? I'm coming back in 3 days. I wonder how we'd live the next 3 days. How would your life be in 72 hours if you knew? Well, here's the problem, dear friend. We know. God said, I will come again. And it could be in the next 3 days. It could be in the next 3 weeks. It could be in the next 3 years. It could be in the next 3,000 years. That's God's dealing. But one thing's for certain. He's coming again. So quit going with these hypotheticals and live as if he could come back in this moment. Wouldn't that change a lot of things? Because the fact of the matter is this, dear friend. The Bible is clear on it. He could come back in this moment. Because, so are you a living testimony amongst your associates? You know, can it be said about you in your life? You walk with God. Noah was not only a man of faith, a man of that feared God. He was a just man. He was a perfect man. He was a man that was upright in his character. He had a testimony that he walked with God. But listen, look what it says over in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And verse number 5, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. And what does it say about him? A preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Wow. I sure hope it'll be said about our church and about us that we are preachers of righteousness. Not our righteousness, because our righteousness is filled with rags, but a preacher of God's righteousness. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not a preacher. Oh, yeah, dear friend, we proclaim all the time. Yeah. We speak. You remember the Bible says about Abel? Being dead, yet he speaks. Oh, we speak. You heard the old saying? Our walk talks louder than our talk. Y'all heard that? Oh, yeah. You might not have the title or the office of pastor, but a preacher is just someone who proclaims. And you can proclaim in silence. You ever heard that? Somebody, their silence speaks. You ever heard that? You ever heard the silence is deafening? What's that? You speak. What are you preaching? What is your life preaching? What are you portraying? Are you putting out there the righteousness of Christ? Or are you putting out your own righteousness? Or are you just, it doesn't really matter. Oh, it does matter because God said, be ye holy for I'm holy. It does matter. that we're to be full of the righteousness of Christ. And so by faith, and he trusted the Lord, he lived a holy life before his fellow men. You say, yeah, but what good did it do? Nobody got saved. It ain't my job to save nobody. It's my job to please God. It's my job to please God. It's my job to sow the seed, to water the seed. It's God's job to bring the increase. See, you see, we want to put some mathematical equation up of why we ain't doing what? I guarantee you, dear friend, if you would have been one of Noah's sons, you'd have been glad that he was righteous. Taught you righteousness and built the ark. You'd have been happy. You'd have been Shem, Ham, Japheth, you'd have been happy when the rain started coming. But, you know, I can imagine the talks and the thoughts and the difficult conversations that Noah must have had with his sons in that era that he lived in. He said, no, boys, we're going to do it like this because it's pleasing to God. What you preaching? What are you presenting out? Who are you fellowshipping with? You know, the walk with God also not as a testimony. It speaks to your fellowship. Who are you walking with? Who are you talking with? What's that song? We walk. Who was it? Walk with him, talk with him. In the garden. Yeah, there we go. In the garden. We don't have that in our hymn book, do we? I don't think so. Do we, Brother Jim? If we do, we'll sing that at closing. Who are you walking with? Who are you talking with? Who are you fellowshipping with? God wants to talk with you. It's been that way since the very beginning, hasn't it been? Even when he knew Adam and Eve had failed, he came to walk and to talk with them in the cool of the garden. In their sinful acts, and they hid themselves off in the bushes and covered themselves up with fig leaves because they had sinned. God wants to fellowship with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. Who are you fellowshipping with? We've got to be very careful about our fellowship. Sometimes what we call fellowship is just actually drawing us away from the walk with God that we should have. Do you understand something, dear friend? Let me give you a little bit of common sense, thimbleful advice that if you like it, fine. If you don't, fine. Don't bother me. But not every Christian is going to lead you closer to Christ. I'm thankful they're saved. I'm thankful they're born again. But not every Christian is walking as close to God as they should. Amen. You said, that's my brother and sister Christ. You shouldn't say that. I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, dear friends, sometimes their priorities are leading your priorities astray. Sometimes you've got to choose between your Christians. I'm not talking about your lost friends. I'm talking about some Christian friends. Some of you have to choose for your Christian friends. And say, listen, I want to choose God's way. Here's a good example. You get a time together, you're going to have, hey, come on, let's have a little Bible study. Let's look at some scripture. And you look at one verse, and before you know it, they got you talking about hunting, fishing, Fortnite, football, cattle hunting, dog fighting, and they then led you straight away from talking about the Word of God. And it's just one time. Mark it down. Meet again. I guarantee you, dear friend, if they're not right with God, they're not going to want to talk about this book. They might like your friendship. They might like your talk. They might like your conversation. But when it's time to have spiritual time, it's time to have spiritual time. When I was a child, I put away, and I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, there's a time, dear friend, it should be nothing but God. Nothing but God. But we find it so easy to run off to the carnality of life. Because there's no conviction in the carnality of life. When's the last time you got convicted about somebody hunting? That ever convicted you? Oh, dear friend, no. When everybody start talking about the things they had learned in the Scripture, meditating and talking about things in the Scripture, say, wow. That's amazing. It begins to work in your heart, your life. Who are you fellowshipping with? Look at his conduct. Go back over to Genesis chapter number 9. We're almost done, dear friend. Look at his conduct. Genesis chapter 6, I'm sorry, verse 22. Here's his conduct. We talked about his position in grace. We talked about his attitude, how he was justified in the sight of man and God because he was accepted in the blood. We talked about his character, his testimony. We talked about his fellowship as he walked with God. Now here's his conduct. Thus did Noah. All the things we talked about earlier, those five characteristics that we just talked about, molded together and into his life, all of these character things that he built, and they were built in him by his fellowship and his walk and his time he spent with God, they begin to bring practical obedience, everyday living. He began to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. Thus did Noah. His obedience proved he was a man of faith, Brother Ray. His obedience proved he walked with God. Yes. It had not rained. It had not there had not been no talk of rain. They had not seen rain. Did not know rain. He was warned of God, and he heeded it, and thus did Noah. In other words, his mouth talked of God and his heart was close to God. Too many times our mouth speaks of God, but the heart is far from God, and it shows in what we do in our day-to-day life. His action proved he believed God and was a man of faith. Thus did Noah. And guess what thus did Noah? What did he do? According to all that God commanded him, so did he. In other words, he didn't look at God's commandments as a Burger King drive-thru. Yeah, I want a Whopper, no cheese, hold the tomato, give me extra onions and no lettuce, and put some mayo on there. That's how we do at Burger King. You know how many of us do as God's children? God, I like being born again. Thank you, Lord, I'm on my way to heaven. But Lord, I just don't have a call. I don't have the gift of and name. Generally speaking, these gifts they say they don't have, they don't even exist in the Bible. Let me tell you something, dear friend. There's not a gift of evangelism. You born again, ye shall be witnesses unto me. It is an understood fact. It's that simple. It's just that simple. You just tell people about Jesus because Jesus lives within you. Ain't no gift. None. No gift. There's no gift to be in the choir. I just don't have the gift of choir. You just might not can sing, but you make a joyful noise. Amen. I know, Pastor, you're meddling now. You're meddling, preacher. No, I'm not meddling. I'm just telling you, dear friend, we've got to be honest with ourselves. When we look at the Word of God, we've got to look at it and say, okay, Lord, you said this. I really don't like it. The flesh don't want to do it, but because you said it, God, I'm going to submit myself to it. And I'm just going to do it. Because you said so. And that settles it. You know, I guess we've got to come to the point where we realize that the Bible's absolute. It is God's Word. God's sovereign. God gave it to us. We are His children. We're either saved by grace through faith in Him, and it's His gift, or if we're saved by doing and keeping and not keeping the things we do like and don't like. I'm going to take my chance on faith and grace through Christ because that's what the Bible teaches. Because I tried this doing it myself. Doing what I'm going to do and doing how I'm going to do it. But dear friend, I came to a point to realize, dear friend, that listen, when I was 13 years old, they had told me and told me and told me. All I had to do was get baptized. I'd come up out of that water. I'd speak in some unknown tongue, and I would be a child of God. And by faith, I went into that water, and I went in there doing what I was taught by man. And when I came up out of that water, Sister Barbara, I didn't speak in no tongue, no matter how long they shook me. They shook me like a big old, I felt like a, you know how a dog does whenever he gets out of the bath? Slings water everywhere. I thought they was going to shake every bone in my body loose. Finally, he looked at me and said, "You don't have enough faith." 13 years old, and I walked away from God, walked away from church, walked away from everything, because I did exactly what man's religion had told me to do. And then when it didn't work out their way, I didn't have enough faith. You know what happened whenever I was presented with the Word of God in 1991? Never once did when he showed me a scripture. Never once when he turned to this one. Never once did he look there. Never. And you know, today's the amazing thing, Brother Jim, it still don't say it. I have to have faith. It says, he has given to every man a portion of faith. God. I don't have enough faith on my own. But when I turned to God and I looked at the Word of God, it's absolute. And God said, you are a sinner. You have a wage of payment that is due. You have to put faith and trust in the finished work of Christ. I said, I don't have no faith. That's okay. My grace has appeared to all men. I'm not willing that any should perish. And he gave me a portion of faith. And the faith I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me. Gave himself for me. And I was born again by faith. Because the Word of God was presented to me. And the seed, the Word of God took root in my heart and grew and just exploded into my life, new life, where I before I was dead, trespassing sin. Never once did I have to do anything strange, no hocus pocus or nothing like that. I didn't have to do no religious acts. All I had to do was turn to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I've tried. I've done this. I've done that. I've done everything that religious I can do. I've done everything bad I can do. And I agree with you, God. I am a sinner on my way to heaven. And by faith in Christ, I was saved. By faith. So, dear friend, listen. According to all, we got to get to the point where the thoroughness of our life. I think it even says that this morning. We read that, didn't it? The man of God may be thoroughly furnished. Is that what it says over in 2 Timothy 3:16, Brother James? Thoroughly furnished? How about that? That's amazing. That we may be thoroughly. Listen, our obedience to the commandment of Christ shows that we are thoroughly furnished by God's grace. I'm going to tell you, dear friend, we're about to close. I'm finished up. I know it's late. But I could honestly ask each of you to stand up and you can tell me something in the Bible that you know it's there, you know it's black and white, if you'd be honest with me. But the flesh just ain't wanting to do it right now. It ain't wanting to submit to it. Whatever it might be, you could say, Pastor, I can say right now, I can tell you, I've read this scripture here, and here's a principle in the Word of God I just don't like. If we were honest, no, Pastor, that ain't true. There is no way. Action show. And thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him. Can we honestly state with the testimony within our own hearts, everything in the Bible we are obeying at this very moment in our life? It's a commandment. The commandments of God. I'm not talking about these man-made things. I'm talking about God's Word. I'm not talking about my preferences, your preferences. I'm talking about the Scriptures. Can you look through there and say, I'm doing everything right now that I'm supposed to be doing? Pastor, I can't. Listen, I've honestly tell you that I can't. I can't give you that testimony right now. Why? Because I'm a man. I'm a mere flesh. And I have emotions. I have You know, I have desires and wants that are there inside of me. But what happens, Pastor? What happens? Daily, I have to die. Can I be honest with you, Sister Swagman? Sometimes I have to die 3, 4, 5 times a day. There's times in my walk with the Lord, I have to look, Sister Dyer, I have to look at the Lord, and I say, Lord, I know I was just here like 3 minutes ago or 2 hours ago. Lord, I know this morning I covered this. It was kind of like tonight. I didn't want to come up here tonight and ask church, let's buy a lawnmower. We just talked about air conditioning last service. But we can't help things break. It happens. So the Lord doesn't get tired. He doesn't slumber, does he, Brother James? He doesn't. He's not like, oh, Lord, here come Blaine again. Hey, Gable, close the door. I don't want to hear from him. He done talked to me about 5 times. He doesn't. Well, you know what he says? Come on, son. Come on. And you know when I don't come, Brother Chase, you know what he does? He puts all y'all other good sheep, because I know none of y'all, but y'all are all good. He closed y'all up in the fold. He said, I got to go out and get him again. He locks y'all up good and tight. He comes out for the black sheep. He said, Pastor, look, come on back. You got to pass. You got a job to do. You got to leave. He leads me back. Sometimes, you know, he's got to carry me, Brother Don. Sometimes I believe he puts me on his shoulder. He walked me back over to the flow over here. And on the way back, sometimes, Brother Hector, I think this is what he does. He takes them shears and he runs them down my back and shears a little hair off. So, and sometimes I think he don't even oil the shears. I think he pulls it on purpose. That's that chastisement of God. Some of y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Maybe some of you hadn't been chastised. God chastens those whom he loves. He does. He chastens those whom he loves. So the thoroughness of the obedience is important. Was it not disobedience that led mankind into the fall? Yes, it was. So thus did Noah, according to all that God told him to do. All. So did he. So did, I think it's the last three words. So did he. Just like a verification. So did he.